Hey, Warheads. Welcome back to another episode of Trivial Warfare. We are the podcast that takes a pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. My name is Jonathan, and I am here with my old friend Chris and my new friend Daniel. Hey, guys. How you doing?
Wait, you've known Daniel for a long time, and now he's a new friend?
Well, for all of the people listening, he's a new friend.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I prefer the term acquaintance.
You jerk.
Friend implies a lot that I'm not really
comfortable
sure about.
Yeah,
at the
you're not really comfortable with being that.
Daniel, we appreciate you coming in and guest hosting for us on this episode.
No problem.
And your wife is in the room.
Yes, she is. Although against her will.
Against her. Yeah, sorry. Jennifer Richardson, our good friend. She's not an acquaintance. She's a good friend.
I'll allow it.
Okay. Is bound in the corner and is not allowed to leave until we're done. So I suggest that we all do a good job here.
Well, it's first time we've had an audience participation, you know? We've never had an audience before, so.
Now you can put on your podcast filmed in front of a live studio audience.
Oh, I like it.
I like that, too.
Man, see, Daniel's full of good ideas. He's not just full of it, but he's full of good ideas.
That he
also
is.
Yes.
All right, well, so we just finished the recording before this was the comic book episode. What did you guys think of that? Did you enjoy doing that?
Yeah, Mark and Lev were great. I mean, had a nice time hanging out with them. I'm looking forward to listening to their podcast now, actually hearing both of them talk about it for sure. I need a little excellence in my life.
That is excellence-expected.com. That's the small business podcast that Mark does. And I'm looking forward to the DC Universe podcast that they're going to do over at twoshotstothehead.com.
Yeah, two shots to the head just makes me a little nervous. But they're good guys, though. What did you think, Daniel?
I thought they were really good sports. And I also am really looking forward to going back and checking out some of their podcasts later on.
Outstanding. The way that we usually get this podcast started is to warm it up, Chris.
Warm it up, Chris.
I'm about to
warm it up, Chris.
That's what I was born into.
All right, so Daniel, I kind of geared this question towards you. One of the things that we both have in common is that we love John Williams. Billboard magazine ranked the top 10 John Williams scores. And I wanted you guys to be able to name those top 10 scores.
Oh, my God.
And it's not individual movie. There's movie series on there also.
So like when I say Superman, it counts for all of the Superman movies.
That is factually correct.
Okay, I'm going to say Superman.
Okay, that is correct. At number 7 was Superman. So, Daniel, how about you? Do you have an answer?
I'm going to say the Imperial March.
So Star Wars.
Star Wars is absolutely correct at number 1. That was the number 1 ranked.
Of course it was.
All right, so Jonathan.
How about Jaws?
Jaws at number 3. Correct.
Dun-dun.
I'm going to say Indiana Jones, and I'm guessing Dun-dun. That's the number 2 answer.
Actually, that is number 4.
No. Number 2 four. Is going to be E.T.
E.T. is number 6.
Ah! Oh, I just thought of it.
Yep. Well, maybe.
Actually, he may not have done this, but I think he did. He almost had to. Unless it was that other guy, Danny Elfman.
Man,
there's really only two composers.
You said that
we do
was
not
such
talk about Danny Elfman.
I was going to say, you said that with such like anger. And it's like, what has Danny Elfman done to you besides make The Simpsons and
no,
make
I like
Batman?
Danny Elfman.
Being
I'm
Oingo
say,
Boingo?
How about the Olympics fanfare?
Not on the list.
He said movies.
I said,
oh,
yeah,
you did say
yes,
movies.
Yes, I did say movies. I'll give you a second chance on that because I did say movies and I agree with you. The Olympics is that's amazing.
Well, I guess it's not the nightly news then either. So
no, it's not.
How about the Cowboys?
No, the Cowboys is not on here.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to go with Harry Potter.
Harry Potter comes in at number 9.
Oh, I thought that was number 2.
Nope, you're missing one big one at number 2.
Is it Jurassic Park?
Jurassic Park is number 2.
How many do we have left?
You have number 10, number 8, and number 5.
10, 8, and 5.
Yes.
I'm running out of John Williams scores.
I am too. I'm not that familiar with
I will
some
say
of
they're. Oh. Yes, go ahead. No.
Close Encounters.
That is number 5. Correct.
Well done.
Well done.
Jake, show me a Coke.
Dang it.
You would think there's some of the more recent stuff. And I don't, you know, me in recent movies, I'm not good in that area at all. So I'm going to have to tap out. I don't think I know any more John Williams movies.
Okay.
Did he do Scores? Psycho?
No, he did not.
That was way
no.
before his time.
Yeah. I will say they're both Steven Spielberg movies.
How about what's the one with the Christmas train? The train to the North Pole with Tom
Polar Express?
Yeah, did he do Polar Express?
No, he did not.
Okay. That shows
well,
me.
Actually, I don't know if he did that or not, because that is one of his directors.
Schindler's List.
Correct.
Oh, yeah.
At number 8. And you got one more drama at number 10. That should be a big hint right there.
Steven Spielberg drama.
Yes.
Philadelphia?
No. He did
it's not Minority. Oh, Saving Private Ryan.
Saving Private Ryan is number 10.
Look
correct.
At you.
Good job, you guys.
You're good with the movies.
Well done. Well, this is his boy.
I honestly believe that one day they will talk about John Williams and Beethoven in the same breath.
Yeah.
When they talk about music history.
It's honestly, it's not far-fetched because movie scores are very much similar in style to classical music.
Well, classical music originally was storytelling. It was storytelling in a musical form.
Yes.
And that's basically what movie scores is. It's just such a shame that it's been relegated to just movie soundtracks because classical music is a dying art form. And if anybody listening to this has a symphony in your hometown, I know we here in Jacksonville, Florida, have a spectacular symphony.
Yes, Jacksonville Symphony.
If you have a symphony in your town, please find a program, find a name that looks at least halfway familiar to you and just give it a chance because it is a dying art and it is a wonderful one.
I would recommend anything by Holst, The Planets, anything by Vivaldi, The Seasons. Those are really, I love Vivaldi. You know, Mozart sounds generic, but Einkleinnacht music or something along those lines, fantastic. Love that.
Well, there's a reason that certain names are ubiquitous with classical music, and it's because they are so great. Beethoven, Tchaikovsky, Bach, Mozart.
Yep.
I mean, they are the all-time greats.
Yep. Yeah. All right.
So this is the end of your classical music podcast. Thank you so much for listening.
Now we move on to easy listening.
All right. That's right. Anyway, that's your warming up Chris question of the day.
Good job.
And I didn't say woman up quith.
Woman up quith. Before we get started, I would like to give credit to the book that we're using for the questions today. It is called The Ultimate Trivial Pursuit Question and Answer Book, and it is put together by the publishers at Puzzle Right Press. It's a book that we're using for most of our questions in today's game, and we really appreciate it. All right, so we're going to pass the mic to Daniel. Daniel is going to be hosting for us, and he's going to be asking us our questions. So, Daniel, question one.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
All right, gentlemen. Our first question of the day is geography. What cotton fabric takes its name from the city of Mosul in northern Iraq?
Whoa.
Wow, that's
I'm sorry, that smell you smell is me peeing in my pants right now.
That's a hard question to start with. Okay, actually, read the question again, please.
What cotton fabric takes its name from the city of Mosul in northern Iraq?
All right, I'm going to write my answer down.
Really?
It may not be right, but I know a fabric name that fits, and so I'm going to go with it.
I know a fabric, it's called cotton, let alone a cotton fabric. Isn't it called cotton?
Yes. But just as coffee can also be called Java, Joe.
Well, actually, this is there are different types of cotton. So it's not just another name for it. It is a specific.
It's not so much remember, the cotton is just the plant.
Yeah.
It's how it's processed and woven that makes it different.
Like, exactly.
Okay.
Such as denim is cotton. It's just how it's treated that makes it denim.
Exactly.
Okay.
So it is a more specific category of cotton.
Still does not help me out, but I appreciate that. Because I know there's like Egyptian cotton. My sheets on my bed are Egyptian. They walk like Egyptian at night.
Walk like an Egyptian.
I know it's wrong. I'm just going to go with it so we can move on because the answer is not coming to my head. Polyester. Polyester.
All right. And I said muslin.
Muslin is the correct answer.
Nice job.
Yes. I don't know what muslin is.
I've never even heard of it.
I've heard of it.
Okay.
And I knew it was a fabric, and the country or the city's name was Mosul or something like that, so I just went with it.
Ah, it sucks.
Round one, question two. Category is entertainment. What actor wrote a bomb from a B-52 in Doctor Strangelove? I'm looking for the actor's name, not the character.
I don't know that dude's name. Oh, my God. Hold on. Wait, maybe I do. Maybe he's in there. Hold on. Maybe I do.
I'm locked in.
So are you locked in?
Yeah.
Oh, God. What's this guy's name? Oh, boy. So right off the bat,
You've never seen it. We've talked about it a few times.
I've never seen it.
Wait, you've never seen Dr. Strangelove?
I've never seen of movies.
Or How I've Learned to Love the Bomb.
It's How I've Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
The list of movies I haven't seen in just the last 5 years could fill up this room. I don't see many movies. So.
Well, Dr. Strangelove was made considerably more than 5 years ago.
My point is that there are much more likely movies for me to have seen that I have not. Okay, so Shot in the Dark, Slim Pickens.
Unfreaking believable. How did you do it again?
I was thinking about the guy in...
Slim Pickens is the right answer.
That's your answer?
Yes, it is indeed Slim Pickens.
He's in Blazing Saddles. He's the sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
He's the bad guy sheriff in Blazing Saddles. And I just remembered that being attached to Dr. Strangelove for some reason.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I'm so happy to have gotten that right. That feels real good.
Again, out of his arse.
All right. And for the last question of round one, we're going to move to the history category.
Okay.
What year saw the end of World War II?
Which end? Victory over Europe or victory over Japan?
That would be the final end.
Okay.
Okay. Mine's locked in.
Okay. I only doubt because it feels like Japan could have stretched into 1946, but I'm almost certain it's 45 for both of them. So I'm going to say 1945.
Yeah, 1945.
The correct answer is 1945.
Nice job. And you got that tone down perfectly where it's like, oh, crud. No. Okay.
Okay. So after the first round, Jonathan has 30. Chris has 20.
That's right. Pitching that perfect game, baby. Good job.
Oh, stop.
Moving on to round two. The category is going to be arts and literature.
Love it.
Literature.
Literature.
Which famous artist made all of his scientific notes in mirror writing?
So he's an artist and a scientist?
Yeah.
It's got to be Da Vinci.
Yeah. Leonardo da Vinci.
Okay, that Leonardo da Vinci is the correct answer.
Not Maurice da Vinci. Or Hedley da Vinci.
Leonardo DiCaprio. Do you know,
I just wish you saw the look that Daniel gave you when you said that. That was great.
I was...
That comment is exactly why Jonathan may no longer host this program.
I was looking at a thing on one of those BuzzFeed things that comes up on Facebook, and it pointed out this funny note. It said, did you notice that the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles never actually used their weapons in a fight? They might use it to stab a piece of pizza or to pick their teeth, but they never actually stabbed anybody or knocked anybody out with their weapons.
Well, in the 80s cartoon show, they mostly just fought robots. That's why they made the ninja foot soldiers robots.
You're right.
So they could use their weapons on them and not have any get into any kind of violence on TV issues.
And also, if you read the original Eastman and Laird comics,
I was
they
about
used
to bring that up.
The weapons and had no problems with it whatsoever.
That was definitely not a children's book.
No, it was not.
You know what's funny? I really wish I'd have thought about that when I was doing questions, because I would have totally asked a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles question.
Would have loved that.
In the comic book podcast. How they turned that gritty, violent book into a kid's show, man.
I know, right? Or somebody even looking at it going, you know what? Despite the blood and the guts in this, I really see a great kid show in this.
It's like doing it to Invincible or Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, my gosh. Walking Dead for kids.
Did you know that they tried to turn Watchmen into a cartoon for kids?
Oh, my
what?
God.
Yeah.
Oh,
that
my
is
gosh.
So inappropriate.
I mean, my gosh.
Well,
really?
Obviously, they toned it down a lot. But, yeah, they tried to make a very Super Friends-esque style cartoon.
Oh, my gosh.
Out of the...
That was going to fail no matter what they did, though.
Yeah,
those are not iconic characters.
And I'm sure it's part of the reason why Grant Morrison went insane. I'm sorry.
Alan Moore. Hmm.
I get those two confused sometimes.
Pretty sure that Alan Moore was insane well before that point.
You can look at his hair and just see that.
You a wizard?
It's so true. He does look like Hagrid.
All right. Moving on to the next question. This is question two of round two. The category is science and nature.
Science!
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 Nature!
What is the five-letter name for a young dog?
I'm pretty sure we should skip to a different question.
For a young dog?
Yeah.
It's not what you think.
It's not?
It's not what you think.
Okay, then let's go with it.
Wow.
Because, I mean, if the answer is puppy, we should move on.
Nope.
Okay.
It's not what you think.
If it's a we should move on.
That's what I was thinking it was.
That would be a female dog.
Yes.
Not a puppy.
Okay. All right, then this just got infinitely harder.
Yeah, because I have no answer. You took both of mine.
This is a lot harder than it sounded when I first thought of it.
You said five-letter word?
It's a five-letter word.
Okay. Did you know this?
I have heard it, but it was not the first thing that came to my mind.
Yeah.
It's going to be one of those where I miss it and then have recognize it after hearing it, like you said. I may not have an answer.
I don't have an answer either. I'm struggling
to think of a word.
I'm tapping out. I have no answer. This stumped me completely.
I think I'm going to tap out too. I can't come up with an answer. I'm pretty sure it's going to be familiar when I hear it, but I'm struggling with it right now.
Perfect game gone.
Your mom.
All right. So just to be clear, both of you are tapping out on this question.
Yes.
We both are going to miss this.
Yep. The correct answer is a whelp.
W-H-E-L-P?
That's correct.
I did not know.
Wow.
I had no idea.
I've heard of a child being called a whelp, but right? not a puppy or not a young dog. Interesting. Wow. Learn something new every day.
A whelp is also a word for like if you get struck with something and have a mark on your arm or face. And I have a friend.
That's actually a welt.
You're right. It is a welt.
It ends with a T, not a P.
But that does not dissuade me from telling the story.
Okay.
So, a welt, like you said, is when you get struck and have a mark that's raised that comes up. I had a friend once that we were talking about doing a team builder at work. And somebody suggested paintball. And we were like, paintball? That's interesting. And this guy said, I don't want to do that. I don't want to get all covered with welches. And we all stopped and looked at him and then just started laughing because we realized he meant welts. And he said welches instead.
It's maybe he thought the paintballs were like grape jelly.
What are you talking about? Are we going to smear you with jelly? What?
He wiggled around like marmalade jelly.
Wow. It was amazing. It was so much fun there.
All right, Daniel. What do you got for us now?
All right. Last question for round two is, what camera brand name did George Eastman launch in 1888?
1, 2, 3. 3, 2, 1.
3, 2, 1. Kodak.
That is correct.
All right.
After the end of the second round, the score is Chris 40, Jonathan 50.
All right. Moving on to round three, question one. What is the Japanese name for Japan?
Wow.
Okay. Wow.
That's a good question.
That is an awesome question, and one that I'm going to get totally wrong in just a minute.
I think I know the Japanese name for Tokyo.
Tokyo?
Oh, interesting. Possibly.
I don't know.
I'm going to write down an answer.
I mean, it's such a great question, but it's so weird. I almost just want to say Japan, and that might end up being my answer just because.
The most honorable republic and emperorship of Japan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's not coming to me. I don't know. Jonathan?
I think I just named the biggest island. I said Kyoto.
No, that is incorrect. The Japanese name for Japan is Nippon or Nihon.
N-I-P-P-O-N.
Now, you native speakers out there, please forgive me if I mispronounced that.
I've run across that. I did not know that was their name for it. I don't know where. Isn't that a camera brand?
You're thinking of Nikon.
Nikon.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you had the name for Tokyo. Were you thinking Edo?
No, I was thinking Kyoto, which I think is actually the big island. Is their biggest island is Kyoto, I think.
Well, and also, actually, the Japanese stock market is the Nikkei. So, I was kidding with the Nike part, but it is actually the Nikkei.
I know I've seen that somewhere.
Man.
It's cool, though. I like learning stuff.
The book kicked our butts on that one.
And that's what it's here for.
Yeah, but I'm still beating you, so there's that. I take solace.
Pick a finger.
I'll take the thumb.
That's not a finger.
I'll take the index. That's not your index. That's your ring. There you go. Good job.
I haven't had a chance to use this one yet, right? Only took two tries.
Shut up.
All right. Now, for question two of round three, what movie starred Hugh Grant as a London bookshop owner who meets the most famous film star in the world, who, by the way, is not Hugh Grant.
Out of curiosity, what's the category?
Entertainment.
Entertainment. Okay. Okay. Could you read the question again?
What movie starred Hugh Grant as a London bookshop owner who meets the most famous film star in the world?
Feel free to talk it out. All rewritten down, locked in. Done.
Feel good about yourself?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Salisbury Hill is a Peter Gabriel song, I think. So in my head, I was thinking it's either Notting Hill or Salisbury Hill where Hugh Grant and Julia Roberts were in the same movie. I don't know that that's the plot for Notting Hill, but I think that they were in that together, and that could have been the plot for that kind of thing. So I'm going to say Notting Hill.
Notting Hill.
The correct answer is Notting Hill. I've been there, coincidentally.
Was the most famous actress in the world there?
No. Neither was interested. There a bookstore with a blue door.
Huh.
But I did run into a bookstore that had some very interesting things. They had some original manuscripts by J.R.R. Tolkien.
Oh, wow.
Wow. That were very nice. And if I had the thousands and thousands of pounds that it would have required to purchase them, I would have on the spot.
Yeah, shipping would have been a pain, though. All those pounds. What an expensive.
Wow. I want the record to show I did not say that joke. My name is Chris Hollister. I did not say that joke.
So, Chris, do you still feel special after finding out that even a lowly person like me could figure out the answer to that question?
I never said lowly. Again, it amazes me how you're able to just figure out these answers that I supposedly don't know the answer to. However, I know this, so it has to be that.
I believe that's what's referred to as game theory.
I would have said deduction.
Actually, I was thinking our salespeople at the place that I work at kind of use it. It's called undercoding what they think they're actually worth.
Sandbagging.
Thank you. That's what you're doing. You are sandbagging.
Maybe a little.
No, there is no little about it.
No, truthfully, I did these movie questions like the Slim Pickens and the Notting Hill. I don't know that that's the answer factually. I just knew a Hugh Grant is in a movie. It's set in England and had Julia Roberts. Could be the plot. Okay, let's go with it.
Okay.
It could have also been totally off the wall wrong.
All right. Now, rounding out round three.
Oh, I see what you did there.
We are going into the history category. Your question is, what did Benjamin Franklin do on April 17th, 1790?
He woke up.
He woke up.
He probably took a crap. I'm betting he went to sleep, and he might have brushed his teeth.
This would be something a little bit more worthy of being noted in a history book.
Oh. Well, now thanks for clarifying. Could you restate the question for me, please?
Yes. What did Jonathan will try his best.
What did Benjamin Franklin famously do on April 17th, 1790?
Famously do.
That wasn't in the book. I had to throw that in to help you focus a little bit with your answer.
From his snarkiness? All right, I'm locked in. So, Mr. Snarky, what's your answer?
This might be morbid, and this is not my answer yet, but it might end up being my answer. It might be that he died. He was old. He was old when they got to the signing of the Declaration of Independence in 1776. He was old. And that was 14 years before this. He was we know that he was in France in the years before that, but 1790, I'm going to say he died.
Is that your answer?
Yeah.
Okay. Christopher?
I said he died.
You said he died?
Yeah.
All right. The answer is he did die. He croaked.
Kicked the bucket. Shuffled off this mortal coil. Any other euphemisms?
No.
I'm disappointed.
He has run up the curtain and joined the choir invisible.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.
That was a Monty Python
reference. The bloody choir invisible.
All right. That is the end of round three. So we are now ready for our midpoint question.
Going to give us the scores.
After three rounds, Jonathan is still maintaining his commanding lead, 70-60.
Yes, because 10 points is commanding.
I command you.
As long as you don't go commando, I'm fine.
All right, midpoint.
Midpoint question. For your midpoint question, the category is entertainment.
Okay.
The question is, John Hughes directed 8 films in his career. Please name 4. And you will receive 5 points for each correct answer.
All right, I'm locked in.
Yeah, I was going to say I have my 4, but I was trying to name the other ones.
So
now we do deduct points for showing off, Chris.
Yes, we do.
He's been showing off the whole game.
No, I've just been getting things right. That's not showing off.
Wow.
All right. So, okay, Chris, I know you're getting this right. I know you're getting all of these right.
Go ahead, Mr. Sandbag.
So let me go first.
Okay.
Just in case I got my four right.
Go ahead, Mr. Sandbag.
I said The Breakfast Club, 16 Candles, Pretty in Pink, and Uncle Buck.
Very nice.
You got 3 out of 4.
I didn't get all 4.
Pretty in Pink was not directed by John Hughes.
I am highly disappointed.
My the ones I had was 16 Candles, The Breakfast Club, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and Uncle Buck.
That is correct. And for those of you who are insatiably curious, all of those 8 films are Curly Sue, Uncle Buck, She's Having a Baby, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles,
yeah,
Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Weird Science, The Breakfast Club, and 16 Candles.
So who did Pretty in Pink? He must have wrote that thing, because I always accredited him to directing that.
That's another show.
Check out the show notes.
Truthfully, I've always related Pretty in Pink with 16 Candles as almost being sequels, but I mean, like being in the same universe, you know what I mean?
Well, I know he wrote it because that was, I mean, because Molly Ringwald was his muse. I mean, that's one of the reasons why he wrote it.
Well, John Hughes did set a lot of his movies in the same fictional town, I believe.
Hmm. I did not know that.
At least if you can trust the Jay and Silent Bob movie by Kevin Smith.
So the score after the midpoint, Jonathan has 85, Chris has 80. I didn't know Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I love, 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 love that movie.
I actually didn't know that either until I was researching the question.
Interesting.
And that is a movie I have seen many times.
Mm. Those aren't pillows!
Go Bears.
How about those bears? He said we're going the wrong way! He's drunk! How does he know where we're going?
To this day, when it's cold outside, and if anybody asks my father what the temperature is, he always says, 1. But when they're in the back seat, in the back of the truck with the dog.
I don't remember that scene.
You don't remember that scene?
I don't.
They're just sitting there. I mean, ice everywhere all over them. There's the dog sitting there growling at him. And one of them asks the other's like, so what do you think the temperature is out? And he just says, 1.
That's right. Classic.
Now, question 1, round 4, comes from the category of arts and literature. And that question is, what city must you visit to see a Leonardo da Vinci's famous The Last Supper?
Man, that stinks. Jonathan's been there.
Mm-mm. No, I haven't.
Okay, locked in.
So I have been to a few Italian cities. I've been to Pisa, Rome, Florence.
You've been to Pisa?
And Venice.
And I'm deducting points for that one.
Bad jokes. Bad jokes.
It's what we do here at Trivial Warfare. We do bad jokes.
It's what we're good at. It's none of those. And it'll never be moved because The Last Supper is a fresco, which means he painted it on a wall.
Correct. I suppose in theory they could move the wall, but that's a lot of work.
And dangerous to the painting.
Yeah, but who cares? It's only a priceless work of art.
Yeah, only that's it.
Details, minor details.
I don't know the answer, but I have a guess. I'm going to guess it's in Turin. It's T-U-R-I-N.
Okay. I just said Rome, if you want to. Rome around the world.
Again, deducting points.
Minus 1.
But it doesn't matter because you both got the question wrong.
Yeah.
The correct answer is Milan.
Oh. Mm. All right.
That's one of the big cities I did not go to. I did not know that either. That's good knowledge. Thanks, Egon.
Mark this date and time on your calendars, folks. We've touched on a subject that Jonathan Oakes does not know.
You didn't touch on a subject I didn't know. It was one question.
Who's hosting this show, me or you?
You.
Okay.
Sorry, sir.
Yeah, careful. He'll deduct you points. I'm like in the negatives right now.
No, I'm the one keeping score. You were already in the negatives, buddy.
Aww.
All right. Now, for the second question of round 4, the category is science and nature.
Science!
Science!
Nature!
Nature!
Everybody ready?
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
Judge?
Come on, can I not get somebody filling in the end of that, please?
Not deducting points?
What tool did Charles Monk invent?
Hmm. Huh. I've never heard of Charles Monk.
This sounds familiar. I'm going to write something down. Okay.
Come on, hammer. Go, hammer. Come on.
Wow, really?
All right, I don't think it's a hammer. Okay. Might be a hammer.
I've written mine down, so go ahead and talk it out.
So when I think about tool, I think about like hammer, screwdriver, saw.
And Daniel and I think about Jonathan Oakes.
Pliers. But I mean, it could be something else. It could be like a...
Like the cotton gin.
A stethoscope.
Or a stethoscope.
Anything, really.
It could be anything classified as a tool.
Charles Monk.
Charles Monk.
Maybe they named a monkfish after him.
The monkfish is not a tool. I do think I should point that out to you.
Depends on how nice the monkfish is.
Don't help him out. He doesn't need the help. He's winning still by 5 points.
Are we having a hard time maintaining your interest?
Huh, what?
I'm drawing a huge blank. I have no idea. I'm going to say, it'd be ironic if it was a Phillips head screwdriver. I'm going to say a monkey wrench. A monkey wrench. I'm saying a monkey wrench.
Wow. Okay, because I said a Phillips head screwdriver.
Did you indeed?
Yes.
That's ironic.
Okay, why is that?
Well, I just... Jonathan used the because term I said incorrectly. It
yeah, oh, okay.
No, I didn't. It's ironic because the Phillips head screwdriver was probably named after a guy named Phillips.
What's the answer?
Monkey wrench.
Yes! Yes! Wow. That's awesome!
Wow.
Are you kidding?
Not in the least.
Oh my gosh! That is amazing. That is supremely awesome. Now that was pure luck.
Yes.
That was 100%
completely out of your
arse.
That was in your small intestine.
I was so going to say pliers, and I was like, ah, screw pliers. I'll say wrench. And I was like, monkey wrench. Hey, monkey wrench. Wow.
If his last name was Monk, why did he add a key to it? Why? That just doesn't make sense.
Well, his last name may be pronounced
Monkey
or something.
Monkey.
Hello. We've all been pronouncing it wrong. It's a monkey wrench. That made my day.
All right, moving on to the last question of round four. We're going to sports and leisure.
Leisure.
What British boxer trained with people like rock star Sting before being knocked out by Mike Tyson?
He was knocked out, but wow. Oh, boy. Because I can only think of one British boxer, and I don't remember him being knocked out by Mike Tyson.
Or even fighting him.
Yeah.
I'm going to write down an answer. I'm almost assuredly wrong.
You think it's the same answer that I've written down, but I wasn't going to say locked in?
No, I'm definitely going in a different direction.
Oh, okay. Did Mike Tyson say, I'm going to eat your children?
I will eat your children.
So you're locked in?
I'm locked in.
All right. So, I mean, the main British boxer that you and I probably were thinking of is Lennox Lewis. I mean, it's just that was – but again, it's like you said, I don't think he fought Tyson, let alone got knocked out by Tyson. Wow. For some reason, the last name Lewis is still in my head. And it's not Lennox, but maybe it's like... There's Damian Lewis, who's an actor.
There's Juliet Lewis,
who's an actress.
You only have to give the last name.
Okay. I'm going to say Lewis.
And I agree with you. I'm certain that Lennox Lewis never got knocked out by Tyson. I just picked somebody that I knew got knocked out by Mike Tyson, and I'm hoping he's British. I said Sphinx.
Both you guys missed that one. His name was Frank Bruno.
Oh, okay.
Never heard of him.
No, I have heard of that, but I didn't realize the dude was British.
Especially with a name like Bruno.
I know, right? The only time you ever hear a name of Bruno is usually associated with Bruce Willis.
Or Bruno Kirby.
Ah, very nice. So May
Chris,
you rest in peace.
You managed to get no points in that round.
Yeah.
I only got 10. That was a hard round.
It really was. The book won that round.
Agreed. So after the fourth round... Score is 95 for Jonathan to 80 for Chris.
All right, going into round five, question one. The category is geography.
Okay.
And since that we are broadcasting from Florida, this question is specifically tailored to us locals.
Ah.
Which hurricane caused Florida an estimated $30 billion of damage in 1992?
You want to say it out loud or... 3, 2, 1.
Andrew.
That is correct.
The year before caused, I think it was the year before, caused South Carolina a ton of damage. That was Hugo.
Yeah. My sister actually was in Homestead when Andrew hit.
Whoa, man.
Yeah, she was. You were down there at that point in time, too?
What was that like? Go sit next to Chris and tell us about it. We mentioned Jennifer is here with us while we're recording. So, Jennifer, you were in Homestead when Andrew hit?
I was.
What was that like?
Very scary.
What? Tell us about it.
I remember up until just about the last minute, my dad was boarding up the windows. We actually had like Mac Daddy shutters. Thank goodness, because the tiles were flying off everybody else's roof and busting into our house. So
oh, wow.
We were hauled up in the hallway, basically, and we had all the mattresses from the beds covering us. But it was scary.
Did the roof go?
Luckily, no.
Oh, you guys were blessed.
It had turned like at the last minute, and that's how Homestead got it.
Right.
But I was young. I mean, teenager.
Yeah.
But very scary time.
All right. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
I was stayed at home for one of our tropical storms, hit like 75 miles an hour or 70. It gusted. I'll never do it again. Even a tropical storm, I'm out of here. Those things are freaking scary. I'm with you, man. I want no part of that. So we're in round 5, question 2.
Dose.
All right. And for that question, we're going to come back around to the entertainment category. What is the 4-letter rock and roll stage name of Paul David Hewson? The 4-letter stage name of rock and roller.
Okay.
Paul David Hewson.
I'm locked in. It was one of two.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so a stage name.
4 letters.
Four letters, which would mean it's not a first and last name. It's just one name. It's not like Gene Simmons or Ace Frehley.
Yes, those all have more than 4 letters.
Yes, they do. But so it's got to be a one name, somebody you'd know by one name, like Madonna. Who else do you know by one name?
Headley. I'm sorry. I don't know why I keep doing that, but it's just funny to me.
There is Nana in the 80s. She did 99 Luftballons.
Luftballons,
good call.
Luft.
So a stage name, you said rock and roller. Rock and roller. I'm really struggling. All right, I'm tapping out. I don't have an answer.
Okay. It could have been, to me, two things. It could have been lead guitarist of U2, Edge, but I believe he's called The Edge, not Edge. Or and this is my answer, the bassist for the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Flea.
Flea. Okay. And Jonathan, you're tapping out?
I had no answer.
You were close with U2.
Bono!
It was Bono.
Dang.
Oh, my God.
I forgot about that. Wow.
I got nowhere. And that's one of your favorite bands.
I got nowhere near it. Yeah. I honestly didn't know Bono's first name or full name. Wow.
I didn't know.
Wow.
Wow. I couldn't even come up with a 4-letter person,
dang it.
Though.
The thing that sucks is I was so there. I can't believe they have two people in their band that have 4-letter names.
Wow. If I'd have thought of U2, I would have gotten it.
Yeah.
But I was in a different place. I was in alternative heavy metal stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I really thought Flea was the right answer.
If I had come to Flea, I would have said that too.
Yeah.
Man. I'm surprised you didn't guess Cher.
If I can turn back time.
Actually, we can. Will you please erase that last?
I wouldn't wear these pants.
What?
Remember that was the butt video?
Oh, gosh.
Where she was on the ship.
All right, now, last question for round 5 is, in the history category, in what city did Yasser Arafat die?
Ooh.
All right, I'm locking in.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay. Jerusalem is the first city that came to my mind. I was thinking Tel Aviv, but for some reason Paris is in my mind because I'm thinking that he was like in the midst of negotiations for something. But I'm going to say Jerusalem. Final answer.
I was stuck between Tehran and Mecca, so I said Mecca.
Chris, you circled around the answer and missed it completely. It was Paris.
Dang it.
Wow,
he was in
Chris.
Paris when he died.
Ugh. Oh, your gut was talking to you.
Daggummit.
I just thought he was hungry.
Man, I needed that. I really needed those points.
We have struggled through that round. Chris, you got 10 points, and now you have 90. I got 10 points. I now have 105. You need to get 2 more questions right than I do in the 6th round to take a lead.
Yeah.
And that's going to bring us to the final round, round 6.
It's the final countdown. Do-do-do-do.
Also, if you would like to make donations so that we can afford to buy some actual musical stingers.
Stingers?
That's what they call it when it's a musical sting.
I didn't know that. Hey, teach me something new every day.
Yes, he is the bus driver. He's taking us to school right now.
Well, he has the book with the answers in front of him. Don't be too impressed.
Anyway, Daniel, as you were saying before we so rudely interrupted you.
That was rude, Chris. Thank you for acknowledging that.
Yes, sir. Can I get any points back?
No. You may have half of 1 point.
Thank you. I'll take it right now.
Manners count. All right. In the arts and literature category, the first question for round six is, whose novel is the basis for the Lloyd Webber musical, The Phantom of the Opera? Now, we're not looking for the name of the novel. We're looking for the author.
Jen, can you help me out here?
That is what we in the gaming industry like to refer to as cheating.
I call it a lifeline, as popularized by Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Well, then go play their game.
Man, he's much meaner than the other hosts that we've had.
I appreciate him.
Well, duh, you guys have the same temperament.
Rational?
Obnoxious?
Same thing.
Can you just ask the question again, please? I apologize.
Who wrote the novel that the Lloyd Webber musical Phantom of the Opera is based on? The right. author of the novel.
Okay. I'm locked in. It's a guess. I've been guessing and skirting around my guesses, so I'm just going to go with the guess instead of trying to think of other answers now.
I have no idea what the answer to this question is, so I'm just picking a gothic writer and hoping for the best. I'm saying Victor Hugo.
Wow, that's exactly what I picked, Victor Hugo.
And you're both wrong. Yeah. The correct answer is Gaston Leroux.
I've never heard of Gaston Leroux, so I don't feel that bad.
Yeah, okay, I feel pretty good, actually.
Are you sure his name wasn't Gaston?
Yes.
No one hits like Gaston. No one quits like Gaston. I don't know any of the words like Gaston. He's especially good expectorating.
That's spitting for you laymen out there.
Don't call people lame.
That was an easy question compared to the one that I almost gave you.
Really?
Yes.
That was quite hard. I'm surprised that we came up with the same. What were you thinking when you came up with Hugo?
Just that I've read Three Musketeers. I've read Man in the Iron Mask, but I figured maybe there was another book that he wrote.
Those aren't Hugo.
Those are
Dumas. No, that's right. That's Dumas.
I was thinking Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yeah.
That's where I was going with that.
The question you almost got was, what artist stopped talking to Van Gogh after he cut off his ear?
Everybody, because he couldn't hear him.
Was it Gauguin?
What the hell?
No, Jonathan knows art crap really well. So
I took one humanities class as a second-time freshman in community college, and I liked the art class, and so I just remember stuff from that. Mm. Literally, that's what I remember art from.
So thank you for asking the harder question.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Jerk.
Hey, be nice to him. He's our host.
Sorry. Jerk face. Sir Jerk.
That's Mr. Jerk face to you.
That's right.
Going into science and
science.
Nature. How do you like that? I was trying to mix it up.
The second question for round six is, what is kept in a ship's binnacle?
You couldn't ask the freaking Van Gogh question, but you want to know what's in a binnacle.
Okay. Locked in. I have complete doubt in myself from here on out, so I'm just writing down what I think.
I don't know what the heck a binnacle is. You wrote yours, you're locked in?
Yeah.
I'm thinking about maybe it's the anchor, maybe it's like the chains for the anchor, maybe it's the ammunition, maybe it's the food. Binnacle. I'm going to say ballast.
My answer was water.
You are both incorrect.
Of course.
The correct answer is the compass. The binnacle is where you mount the compass.
This is much smaller than I imagined.
Yeah.
Man. You know, it's unintentional, I think, but you managed to make this game a lot harder in the second half.
Well done.
We haven't got a question right in 4 questions. Wow. Neither one of us.
We're pitching a shutout.
All right. Well, let's see if we can change that up with sports and leisure.
Leisure.
Which is the last question of round 6. Who owned the Chicago White Sox baseball team at the time of the 1919 Black Sox scandal?
You want to do 3-2-1?
3-2-1. Comiskey.
It is Comiskey.
We finally got one right.
He was a jerk, too.
He was a jerk.
Oh, man. He was awful to his players.
He's the reason the Black Sox existed as the Black
absolutely.
Sox.
Because as a bonus to the team, most teams got like $5,000 bonuses for making it to the World Series. He gave all his players champagne and it was all like expired flat champagne. When they opened up the cork bottles, nothing, I mean, there was no, it didn't pop at all. It just kind of, the cork just fell out.
I thought you were going to say he charged them for it. He gave them champagne and charged them for it. Okay.
Well, he used to charge them for their uniforms.
Yeah. After the sixth round, going into the final, Jonathan has 115 and Chris has 100.
All right, man. We are limping into the final question.
Yes, we are.
All right. So what's the category of the final question so we can make a bet?
The category of the final question is history.
Okay.
History.
And you will be putting events in chronological order.
Okay.
So.
Wait, we have to write down our wager.
I was going to say I will take your wagers before I was once again so rudely interrupted. Jonathan, why don't you remind us of our scores so that we know what we're working with?
Jonathan has 115. Chris has zero. I mean, sorry. Chris
After
has
all the negatives that Daniel gave to me.
Chris has 100.
These five wars took place on the American continent. Please put them in the order of when they started. They are the Texas Indian Wars, the Spanish American War, the Creek War, the Mexican American War, and the Whiskey Rebellion.
You went earliest to latest?
Yes, earliest to latest. And I'm taking them in the order in which they began.
All right, I'm in.
Yeah, sure. I'm locked in too.
Okay.
I think this is the toughest final question I think I've heard in a very long time.
It's pretty tough. I know three of these, I think.
I got you. Go ahead and start.
So I'm not familiar with the Texas Indian War or the Creek War. I imagine both of them are Indian-based, so I'm assuming early to mid-1800s. I know the Spanish-American War was Teddy Roosevelt, Rough Riders. That's around 1899-ish. I think the Whiskey Rebellion was a couple of years after the Civil War, so I said 1870s-ish, and Mexican-American War was 1910 to 1920. No, that's the Mexican Revolution. I actually don't know when the Mexican-American War is, so I just missed that. Oh, well. So I went Texas Indian first, Creek War second, Whiskey Rebellion third, Spanish-American fourth, and Mexican-American fifth.
Okay. Yeah, I was all over the board compared to you.
Well, I might be all over the board compared to you.
Fair enough. I said the Whiskey Rebellion was one. I said the Spanish-American War was two. That was in 1850s, right before the Civil War. That's where where Grant started a little bit. That's where Robert E. Lee definitely got his commandership.
So I was thinking of the wrong Spanish thing then. What was the one with Teddy Roosevelt in
that? That was the Mexican-American War.
Was it?
Yeah.
I got them mixed up.
Anyway, at least I think. I mean, we'll find out in just a minute. Anyway, so three I said was the Creek War, four Texas Indian Wars, and then five the Mexican-American War.
All right, Daniel, what is the correct order?
The correct order is the Whiskey Rebellion from 1791 to 1794.
Well, that is much earlier than I remembered.
I believe that was actually broken up by George Washington. He participated in that, if I'm not mistaken, which I very well could be. Next came the Creek War from 1813 to 1814.
Man.
The Texas Indian Wars, which lasted from 1820 until 1875.
No kidding. Wow.
So I was in the right range on those.
Then was the Mexican-American War.
Ah, that was 1850.
1846
okay.
to 1848, and last was the Spanish-American War, which was in 1898.
Okay.
So that was Teddy.
So neither of us got it right. So
it comes down to the wagers. I wagered 14 points.
All right. And I wagered 0 points, so you win by 1 point.
Jonathan wins 101 to 100. And the only reason I bet those 14 points was to tease you in order to win by one instead of 15.
No, I hear you. I hear you.
I'm very happy to win. I lost three in a row a couple of episodes ago. And I have to tell you, it's demoralizing. But I'm back on a winning track now. Out of our head-to-heads, this is my second win out of the last two. So back in the driver's seat.
Wow.
It's another win for Jonathan.
It's another win for something, for sure.
All right. Well, hey, Daniel, thanks for hosting for us today.
Great job, man.
No problem, guys. I had a lot of fun. Thanks for allowing me to participate.
We appreciate it.
And you're welcome back anytime you want to. I'm not sure you want to, but you're definitely welcome back anytime you want to.
I'm pretty sure Daniel would be interested in competing at some point. Okay. So we'll see what we can do there.
I'm happy to host that sucker for sure. I think that would be a lot of fun to see the two of you duke it out.
Oh, I think I just heard that Chris is scared to go against you.
Nah. That's funny because I heard the same thing.
Oh.
Hey, I'm happy to have Daniel's lovely wife ask the questions. I'll beat the pants out of both of you.
So, hey, Warhead of the Week. We want to give a shout out to Josh King, one of the newest Warheads. We appreciate you signing up, man. And keep listening. Tell your friends about it. What else? If you're an Android user and you've had a hard time finding somewhere to subscribe to the show on, you can go to the Google Play Store and download our app. It's really easy to use. It is definitely the easiest way on Android to keep up with the show. So highly recommend that. And last thing, every week we do show notes. You can go to trivialwarfare.com and trust me, you will enjoy the heck out of them. They are more than just the questions and answers from the show. Enjoy that.
They're always a lot of fun for sure.
Yep. All right, Chris, can you get us out of here?
I think I can. So again, thank you very much guys for listening to us. We really appreciate it. Daniel, well done. Jennifer, thank you so much for being our live studio audience. We appreciate that. You can reach out to Jonathan by emailing him at trivialwarfare@gmail.com. Again, that's trivialwarfare@gmail.com. And please send in your questions. If you have any questions for us, we'd love to have them. So until next time, that's Daniel. That's Jonathan. That's Jennifer. I'm Chris. And this is Trivial Warfare, where it's not just trivia, it's war. Take care, everybody.
Bye, guys. I'm hungry.
I'm Chris.
Thanks, Dad.
That was a dad joke.